You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a brand new episode of Kyle.
Knockouts and three counts.
Knockouts and three counts. We're off to a bag up start, people. And this is...
Computers are hard.
Yeah, that's what she said. And I just found out that this is our anniversary show, man.
Yeah, Devin's been slacking. So, yeah, thank you for all those that have been listening. It's a year of knockouts and three counts. And Kyle's even going to join us today, too. So,
yeah, I forgot the anniversary. That's probably why I'm single right now. But we have a very special guest on the line. We're going to get introduce him in just a second, but you know, we gotta do our thing. Mr. Collison, why don't you go ahead and throw out your social medias, and we'll get to Mr. Campbell as soon as he gets here.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit NOKOUT on Twitter and Instagram, Kyle Collison on Facebook. Follow the show at Knockouts and Three Counts Podcast on Facebook, at KO3CPod on Twitter and Instagram, and you can also find us at KO3CPod.com.
All right, we got anything coming up, man?
This weekend, BCWA will be there July 7th at the Yak Arena in Wyandotte, Michigan. And we'll be watching the UFC somewhere afterwards. We'll probably post that up on the page, too.
Yeah, so if you're going to be there, come check us out and come watch some UFC with us afterwards. And I am Devin. You can hit me up on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can hit me up on Instagram at AllSteak, no sizzle. That's one word. And make sure you check out the Reality Era News group on Facebook. We'll add you. You know, just go ahead and send us a request. We'll add you. And we talk wrestling and shit in there. And hey, if you're looking for a car, make sure you check out SouthfieldQualityCars.com. Once you go on that website and see which vehicle you want to purchase, make sure you go in there and then use the reference code 19309. That's 19309, and you'll receive $500 off on your purchase.
1939.
No. 1930.
And shout out to Liddell. Liddell said he's going to go look out and check out a car.
Thank you very much, Liddell. I definitely appreciate that. I need the help.
I'm working even. I'm working even if you ain't.
I appreciate it, man. And, Kyle, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest, man?
So, as many of you guys know, we were out at Money in the Bank in Chicago, and we ran into a guy that you guys might know a little bit better as the Collar and Elbow Guy. His name is Kerry Morris. How you doing, brother man?
Good. How's it going?
Not too bad.
Good, man. Hey, Kerry, why don't you go ahead and throw your social medias and all that good stuff out there if you want to, and anything that you need to promote, why don't you go ahead and throw that out there as well?
All right, so I'm on Twitter and Instagram under CollarX Elbow Guy. If you check out the website, collarbrand.com, use my promo code Kerry, KERRY, save 10% on any purchases. That includes stuff that's on sale.
Ooh.
A lot of great stuff they just came out with for the summer.
I saw that. I actually almost bought more of it.
Hey, what's that promo code one more time?
Promo is Kerry, KERRY.
All righty, make sure you jump on that, people. So, Mr. Collison, you got the first question for our guest.
So, I mean, as you guys know, we were out in Chicago at Money in the Bank, but if you watch WWE with any regularity, there's a good chance that you've probably seen this guy in the front row. Not this asshole that just walked in the studio all late, but yeah, you've probably seen Kerry in the front row. So I guess let's start for starters. I mean, how long you been a wrestling fan, man? What got you into wrestling? All that good stuff.
I grew up on the Von Erichs and the Freebirds way back in the mid-80s. Back in, yep, I'm from there, so that was the big thing back in the day.
So how'd you end up in Chicago then?
I came here for grad school 10 years ago and finished up and just have stayed since. I've been here 10 years now.
Well, so you're from the Dallas area?
From the Dallas area, but I mean, I've also lived in North Carolina, lived in Arizona, and now I'm living here and you know, see where I go next. Maybe I'll be here. Maybe I'll move somewhere else.
Man, so you actually went to the sport auditorium and saw the Von Erichs and the Freebirds?
No, I watched them on TV. No, my parents said because they either the claim was it was in the bad part of town or they was too cheap to buy tickets back then. I'm not sure which is which.
Likely parents' excuse.
Probably so. That's what I'm thinking, but they deny it.
Man. Well, real quick, let me cut in for a second. We have one of our co-hosts that we haven't seen in a while, man.
Because he don't like us no more.
Mr. Campbell.
Not you.
Shit. We're off to a great fucking start.
We got Mr. Campbell in the building. Mr. Campbell, why don't you go ahead and throw out your social medias and all that good stuff, and if you have anything you need to promote.
Other than being on the show.
Yeah. Promote the show. So, you know, watch, listen, subscribe.
Yeah, you like, got to share them too, fuck.
Well, if you don't share them to me, that's the thing, because you always share
I tag
to me
you
first.
In them.
I know, but I'm like, if you let me
children,
do it first.
Children, stop fighting.
If you let me do it first.
We can't have nice things.
Facebook is going to be Kyle J. Campbell. Twitter and Instagram, Team Chaos. That's KAYOS. Love to get into any type of sports debates, whether it be pro wrestling, MMA, boxing, or NBA, which is bullshit right now. But if you follow me, I'll follow you back. If you tweet me, I'll tweet you back.
All right, and happy anniversary, man.
Today's a 1-year anniversary show for
me. I almost had to look at my phone like, shit, she listens to this. Yeah, that's why I wanted to make sure I was at this one. I accidentally went the wrong way on 11 Mile because it's been so long.
It's been so long.
I'm like, wait a second, was it 94 or 75? Oh, shit.
All right, well, Kyle, we got Kerry on the phone. He is known as the collar elbow guy. You've seen him in the front row at a lot of WWE shows, and he was just telling us about, you know, growing up in Dallas and being in the Chicago area now.
So what is it really like? Like, because I didn't get to go like you guys did to Money in the Bank. But that's honestly, if I had to choose between a Philly crowd, which I lived at for 5 years, but I never actually went to any WWE events. I went to an ECW event. But a Philly crowd, Boston crowd, New York crowd, and a Chicago crowd. I've always wanted to go to a show in Chicago. So what is it really like being at a Chicago-style show with that type of crowd?
Very similar to like the New York crowd. It's going to be very similar, going to Brooklyn or, you know, if you're at the Garden. I think Boston's very similar. Toronto could be similar like that. You know, Philly's the same way. You know, just loud. It's just, you know, I mean, a lot of energy from start to finish.
So what got you going all over the place to go watch all these shows? Because before Money in the Bank, I decided last year that I just, you know, with work and everything like that, that I was going to head out to WrestleMania in Orlando. And I went all by myself. That's the first time I've traveled out of state for a show or anything like that. Yeah, ring the bell. I was there. Well, he was there too. So you'll be ringing that bell a lot, asshole. Anyway. I decided to go to Orlando, went all by myself. Clearly I wasn't in the front row like you were, but, what sparked you to start traveling all over the place to go to these shows?
Well, going to WWF shows back in Dallas in like the late 80s and 90s, I mean, they couldn't draw shit as like a TNA show, honestly. So we never got anything good. I was able to lucky to go to the 94 Survivor Series in San Antonio and Rumble 97 at the Dome, but my first out of state was SummerSlam 2000, that's getting to see the first TLC match. Wow! Yeah. And I was like, "Oh, this is a lot of fun! Just traveling new places, seeing new fans, seeing that a lot of people are just, you know, traveling from all over the country and the world to, you know, multiple events."
Wait, that's SummerSlam 2000. Was that the same show that Blackman?
Yep.
Knocked Shane off. So, all right, we're gonna just zero in on that for a second. That's one of my all time favorite pay per views, man. How crazy was that show in general? Because, like you said, you had Shane McMahon falling off of the Titantron. You had the ladder match, man. Like, how crazy was that that entire show?
It was a crazy crowd, mostly probably because it was mostly out-of-towners. Raleigh's not a good market for drawing crowds, and didn't sell out fast. Like, you know, the month earlier in Dallas, Fully Loaded, like, you know, it took them forever to sell that place out. But it was definitely, just seeing Shane fall off the stage was just like, wow. And then, I mean, the crowd popped huge. I remember when JR got up and broke the glass container over Taz's head.
Wow, I forgot about that
with The Rock winning the belt, you know, and, you know, the TLC match was amazing. Everyone, a little disappointed the Hardys didn't win, but they were into the whole match.
You know, it's funny. They never actually won one of those matches until they came back. WrestleMania.
I don't ever remember them winning.
Yeah, exactly.
Edge and Christian was usually always actually won. It was a little wrestling fact. I'm like, no, the Hardys. Well, then they never won it. That's why.
Yeah, I think the only ladder match they technically won was the Terry Invitational Tournament.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Wow. That's wrestling history for you there, people.
So how'd you get the next question I have is, how'd you get hooked up with Collar and Elbow, man? Like, how did this whole Collar and Elbow guy thing start?
They reached out to me. One of the guys that helps run it, we were able to do the Performance Center tour back in January of 16. And he remembered me and said, hey, I know there are some issues with the Square Circle, and I wasn't going to be repping them much more because they weren't going to be around much more. I said, hey, you know, would you like to do this? We can design a shirt similar to that. How would you feel about it? I said, yeah, sure, why not? And, you know, Al's pretty cool, and, you know, so was his wife, and, you know, why not help them out? You're good people.
So they reached out to you then. That's cool.
Yeah.
So basically, you go to all these great shows, and you just wear their stuff pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
all. Mm-hmm. So,
dude, it's a pretty cool shirt. It's actually pretty comfortable.
Wait, so you're basically a part of almost like a fraternity. It's like there's the green shirt guy, there's the clown, there's mm-hmm. a Brock Lesnar guy. You have all these different guys that you see at a lot of the pay-per-views.
Yeah, now those two don't go nearly as much anymore. You hardly see them around.
Yeah, I haven't seen the Brock Lesnar guy in quite a while.
Probably popped the fan.
No. And then Frank, because being on, you know, the Mick Foley show, they don't want him on TV side. They move him to the hard cam side.
Oh, okay.
Ah.
But then you get the world famous green shirt guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how do you guys hang out with each other? Do you guys message each other, say, hey,
yeah, we've been friends for a while. Yeah. And there's a group of us that, you know, we're from all over the country, and we meet up for some of these shows, or when it comes to Mania, I've got friends living all over the world. We stay in touch through Facebook or Twitter, and we'll meet up and hang out throughout the whole weekend. And we've been doing this and that circle has changed and expanded over the past, like, the 17, 18 manias I've been to.
Damn.
Jesus.
Shit, I've been to 3, and this motherfucker's talking about 18 and shit. So that's my next question, man. I mean, not to, pry too much or anything, man, but how the fuck do you get to go to all these shows is my question, straight up.
You can't plead the fifth if you need to.
It used to be so damn cheap. I mean, back in the day, Mania 17, front row was $500, and then Mania 18, damn. Toronto, with the exchange rate, was
I paid $500 and sat on the fucking floor this year.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's definitely changed a lot. I mean, you used to get a lot more stuff, like Hall of Fame, you got the free program and the medallion. After the one they did Mania 20, you got autograph sessions before and after. Just came with it and everything. And it's they've definitely got a lot more corporate. You can tell they're trying to kiss ass and please the stockholders, so they keep charging more and more. And
I wonder how much
I'm just lucky. I'm my own boss, and I can set my own hours. I can work extra to budget and pay for the stuff.
Hey, man, that's a cool setup. I'm not hating at all. I always wondered, how the fuck do these guys get to go to all these shows? Because, for me to go to Mania, man, I literally, after I went the first year, I was like, okay, this is about what I spent this year. So going into, I knew what I spent in Orlando. So going into New Orleans, I was like, okay, I spent about this last year, and I was only there for Saturday and Sunday, and then my flight got delayed, so I went to Raw Monday. So I was like, okay, this is about what I spent. So now I have a ballpark of what I need to put away. So I put it away a little bit. But, man, I can't even imagine putting a dent into how much you got to spend to be going front row to all that shit.
Well, and I think that's what, we kind of can figure out what they're going to charge. And I always add a little extra thing. Okay, basically do a price increase because, being New York, it probably will go up a good amount because they definitely jack some prices up this year. And it's only New Orleans. It shouldn't have been that high in the first place. But and I just start planning out almost a year in advance. And I'm lucky to be married to someone who lets me go to a lot of these shows. Not all, but a lot.
Now, have you been to both the Garden and Barclays?
I have, yeah.
Which one?
Lucky enough
to
go to the Garden for Mania 20 and the Hall of Fame.
Which one would be better? Because I know it's kind of getting a contentious thing where, the Garden was always referred to as their spiritual home, but for the last 4 years, any event they really have in New York outside of maybe one or two, they make sure they hold it at the Barclays. And now you got a lot of indie promotions that are trying to actually book the Garden, and WWE's kind of trying to
snuff that out.
Yeah. So which one did you enjoy more, just being in an actual arena? Which one was actually a better experience?
Oh, the Garden. There's just something about it. When you get there, there's just something about it. It's special. And I wish they would have, for Raw 25, they just held everything at the Garden only versus two venues. I mean, I get it. You know, it's costly to run the garden. You have to pay, you know, union crew to, you know, basically pay twice the crew for one crew's job, and it gets expensive. But I don't know. You think they just raise ticket prices and pass that cost along to us?
The funny thing with that, though, is I heard that there was a lot of backlash from the fans that were at the Manhattan Center because there wasn't really anything there other than the stuff at the very end.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was there, and in the end, I look at it as it is what it is. That nostalgia probably never happened again in my lifetime. I kind of knew something. It wouldn't be as special when you have all these old X stars advertised. Like, okay, this is too much. You can't do a lot of special stuff with too many stars. But I felt they could have at least had Vince come out in the old school jacket and do the old school opening.
Yeah, that would have been dope.
That'd have been nice. You know, I mean, I like what they did afterwards, after the show ended. That was cool. And like I said, having Taker there, stuff like that. But they could have spaced it out more to go back and forth, honestly. But, you know, when you look at it, people paid similar prices ringside or more at Barclays. And all they got really special was the first segment. After that, it was just your typical standard Raw. Nothing special, nothing nostalgia, no old Attitude Era set or anything like that.
That's a good point, too. That was another thing that I kind of was like, I was surprised, other than at Manhattan Center, that there wasn't, you know, more of the old school set. That being said, with all the different places you've been, do you have like a favorite arena or a favorite place that you like to go to regularly when they do events? Like, if you know they're going somewhere, that it'll be a place that you want to hit?
See, in terms of venue, like I said, you just can't beat the Garden at Special. And also just New York's a fun place to visit. I love visiting there. In terms of like large stadiums, oh, that's tough. You know, New Orleans is also a fun city too. There's so much to do in walking distance. You see all the wrestlers out partying, getting drunk along Bourbon. You know, you can't beat that either.
I have to say I like New Orleans a lot better than Orlando.
Did you get beats, Kyle?
Yeah, because everything's walking distance. Orlando is too spread out. And the same with San Jose was kind of like that. And same with Dallas.
Have you ever been to any of the ones here in Detroit or the Detroit metro area?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was there for Mania 23.
So, yeah, so as I ring the bell, go ahead.
I was there, too. I was outside.
But that was one of my other questions. I was going to ask you, since you were talking about that with Shane, did you come for Hell in a Cell last year?
No, I didn't. I had family in town. And also that meant I had to miss, I would have to visit my in-laws, and I could do without that. So I will I will make it back to see the new arena at some point, but I did have family in that town. Same reason why I had to miss No Mercy a couple weeks earlier. I had more family in town too.
Matt, how many frequent flyer miles do you have?
a lot. And I just used them to go to for an overseas show coming up.
What? So are you like I don't know, you know what, airline you use, you don't have to throw it out there, but are you like a Diamond Club member? Are you a Platinum member or something like that? You get like just priority seating and, you know, free upgrades and stuff like that?
This is the first year I finally got United Silver status. It's come in handy a couple of times. Came in handy for my New Orleans flight.
So you get to like get the premium snacks before everybody
the
else.
Premium snacks.
The good famous Amy's cookies. They just gave us some drinks, which I'll take some free drinks anytime.
Hey man, I'm down with that too. So another question I have is, you know, when you look at your Instagram and you look at a lot of the things that you post, man, like you've gotten to pretty much meet a who's who. Like, how has that really been impacted since you started to gain a little bit of notoriety, you know, as being in the front row all the time? Do you get to mix and mingle with those guys a lot? Is there anybody that you enjoyed meeting more than anyone else? Or like, how did that all change for you once you started getting noticed more often?
Sometimes I wonder if they even do notice me a little bit. I want to say Roman recognizes me somewhat. Apollo, in fact, it's a funny story, in Orlando. Did you go to the Hall of Fame?
I didn't go to the Hall of Fame because I got there late. I didn't get there till Saturday.
Oh, so you got Saturday. I'll talk because that's the year they moved to the Friday. Yeah. So a friend and I, we got there early, and we decided, a couple of friends, we decided there's a bar there on the floor. So let's go there, have a couple of drinks. We got an hour before they do that red carpet show. And we're sitting there and just chilling, and I know one of the referees, he walked by and said, "Hey, Kerry, how's it going?" Then Apollo Crews comes by and says, "Hey, Kerry, how's it going? So, how are you doing?" Then everyone came in. Everyone from Shane to, you know, all the guys came in. AJ Styles, Randy Orton, all the crew came in. and then they close the doors. And I was like, I don't think we're supposed to be in here, but just act natural, act cool. And, you know, and we, you know, just kind of talking, you know, like Nia Jax knows my friend. And so we started, she's like, yeah, just stay here with me. It's all good. Don't worry. Just, you know, don't take pictures and just act normal.
Wow.
And that was kind of cool. Just sit back there watching them drink and hang out and just observe and see who gets pissy when people try to take pictures with him, like Randy Orton. Don't ask him.
I've heard that.
He can be an ass. He can be an ass. He really can be. But yeah, so like, yeah, I was like, okay, that's kind of fun to sit back and watch them do that. Or at Survivor Series Houston, they put us up in the same hotel as the entire crew. So we're at the, you know, every night at the hotel, bar, and restaurant, just watching them. Listen, like Shane telling the guys, you know, like, hey, Elias, you're the one true heel we have. We're going to do some big things with you. We got some good things going. Just keep it up. Don't change what you're doing.
Still waiting.
seeing Carmella, you know, give a lap dance to Dash and rub all over his chest. I'm like, and weren't you supposed to do the big cast or did y'all break up or something? And when she's had too much tequila, she can't count to 10 to save her life.
So I just noticed something that you said. Like, so when you said they put you up in the same hotel as the rest of the guys, like, do you know, like, ahead of time, like, what hotels they're going to? Or is that something that WWE did or Collar and Elbow or something? Or
that was a travel package. And they because the packages sold so poorly, they just figured, hey, save money and throw them in the same hotel group rate.
I almost bought one of those this year, so that's good to know. I almost bought one of the travel packages when I went.
You just want to see Carmella.
They normally don't. They keep us normally very far apart. But, like, for Brooklyn, we'll be in Times Square. They'll be in Brooklyn far away. That's normally how it is. It just had to be that because they only, between all the tiers for Houston, they only sold a total of 42 tickets. Wow. Very poor sales.
Wow. Who is a...
It was just,
go ahead. Go ahead, finish.
So it was just easier that way to throw everybody into one place. But it was cool, you know, seeing them drink and get drunk till 2 or 3 in the morning.
Wait, who is someone that's surprisingly a nice person that you were expecting to be an asshole?
Jeez, I'm trying to think because most of, I don't know, I guess I always go with a positive attitude that everyone's nice. Now, I've been surprised by 3 people that were just flat out assholes or just an absolute cunt. And I was like, oh,
damn. Never mind.
Now I'm intrigued. Please, dish.
All right. So, Mania 18, my brother and I and his friend go. I booked the Crown Plaza because I knew a friend said, hey, it's a cool hotel. You should check it out. It's right by the Sky Dome. Okay, cool. I love walking distance hotels. And we walk in the Thursday before check-in, and right by us, checking in behind us, Hall, Nash, and X-Pac. I'm like, oh, shit, I think they're all staying here. Mm-hmm. And then by Friday and Saturday, more fans knew that we weren't staying there. We're crowding the hotel in the lobby. Well, they have a lockdown lower lobby, and it's for secure for the, you know, the wrestlers to be down there, kind of, you know, you can see like Hogan come in with security and Rock and all them and Vince, and you'd also see him come to the lobby, and most of them are pretty cool or nice. Or if they say, hey, sorry, like Undertaker is like, hey, sorry guys, I got registered my wife, we gotta go to dinner, we're late. Same with Kevin Nash and other guys. But Stacy Keebler comes up to the main lobby to use a phone. And a fan afterwards asks, hey, can I get a picture? She's like, oh God, no, get away from me.
I can see that.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, okay, he was nice. He was not being a dick. You came up to the main lobby where the fans were going to use a phone. You can't use a phone in your room or downstairs in a secure lobby?
Yeah, that shows how old this is.
And then Chris Jericho was another one.
I've heard stories about Jericho.
Really? I actually heard one about him being nice.
I think he's one of them. You got to catch him at the right time, though. Because I've heard both sides of it.
I mean, the thing is, like, you know, he and his wife and his son, they came up the escalator from the lower lobby to the main lobby to go to dinner. And when fans asked for his autograph, now, like I said, guys like Vince, Shane, Triple H, Sean, Undertaker, and Kevin Nash said, hey, sorry, guys, we got to go. Fans are like, okay, cool. Have a good night. Jericho wouldn't even look at you. He would just turn it away, wouldn't acknowledge anybody. So then eventually all how many fans were there, the dozens just cornered his entire family. And very eventually he had to start signing and taking pictures. Like, why couldn't you just have some respect and say, hey, sorry, guys, we got to get going, like everybody else?
Right.
That's back when he used to wear that silver sequin shirt, too. He was a dick back then.
Right, so who's the third person?
Third one? I'll add a fourth one. Arn Anderson, total dick.
Wow!
Total dick. Flair's pretty cool. I've never met the man sober. Very cool. Flair's very cool. Arn wasn't. And then I'm on the elevator going back to my room. And Kaz in the corner, shades, his arms across. And he answered, hey, how's it going? He goes, ah. You having fun so far in the city? Ah. He goes off, have a good day, sir. Ah. I'm like, can you speak in sentence or something? Can you speak English or something? Come on.
He was going back to the old Tasmaniac gimmick. That's what that was. I've heard.
All he's missing was a talent.
I've heard things about Taz too.
Yeah, and I will say one that really surprised me at Access back when, you know, for $15, $25, you got to meet everybody. I'm at the bathroom, and next all over is Paul Heyman. And while I just said, hey, how's it going? He wanted to shake my hand while we were both at urine. I'm like, no, we can shake hands after we watch.
Hello, my good sir.
Basically. Wow. But very cool. You know, same with Tommy Dreamer, you know, talking about hockey and this and that. Because, like, you know, I think my brother and his friends were heading out to the Dallas Stars trying to lose the baseball game. And I think Tommy Dreamer was heading there, too. Like, yeah, they're talking hockey the whole time.
I don't think I ever told you Tommy, guys, I met Sandman once in Philly. He got on the same bus as me.
Tommy was super cool, man. I met him this past year in New Orleans. He was super cool, though. Him and Mr. Anderson.
Grab this bell right here.
In case you can hear the bell, Carrie. So basically, it's part of a shtick that these assholes have created on the show. Of whenever anyone says they were there, these fuckers ring the bell. So since I'm the only one of the three of us that's been to WrestleMania, other than Kyle, other than one here. It's every time I talk, there's going to be a bell ringing. These sons of bitches.
If we had a drinking game, we would have died of alcohol poisoning a long time ago.
Which will be coming out soon on KO3CPod.com.
Fuck you. So on the flip side of that, who were some ones that, you know, you talked about ones that you thought were assholes and things like that. What, you know, all these different shows you've, you know, got to travel to, do you have any, like, stories that stick out to you, like that you remember from your travels to all these different places?
I'll never forget finally meeting Undertaker for the first time, and very cool, very personable. We actually, many years ago, at a gym in the suburbs of Dallas, I used to work out, and there's a guy I talked to wrestling all the time, and you know, he told me a story. I was like, you know, I didn't want to call him a liar, but because, you know, but at the same time, he could be telling the truth, and he said he was the godfather to Undertaker's oldest son, and also trained Undertaker to wrestle. And so when I met Taker, I brought the guy's name. He's like, yeah. I said, yeah, he trained me a long time ago. He's the godfather to actually a couple of my children. And we started talking, and he was like, you know, the fan access, and the guy trying to push me out of the way, one of the workers, he's like, hold on, I'm talking to him. Leave me alone.
Wow.
That's so
Taker,
pretty cool.
Taker wanted the line to hold up so we could talk more about our friend back in Dallas.
That poked your chest out a little bit.
That's cool. Yeah. Man. Like, have you?
It was like, you know, when Taker wants, he gets. So I was like, okay, sir.
Yeah, Taker is like the law over there, pretty much, from what I've heard.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Shane was really, really personable.
I can see that.
It was Saturday night in Toronto. He and his wife were leaving their restaurant, going up, taking a picture of everybody. Took a picture. He's like, no, I looked at the wrong camera. I insist. You stay. We're going to take another picture. And he told his wife, you wait there. I'm taking pictures.
Did he have Jordans on?
I don't think you heard you, Kyle.
Did he have Jordans on?
He said, did he have Jordans on?
I didn't pay attention. Honestly, you know, he could have, or some kind of nice fancy shoes, but I know he had them in that Houston hotel doing that Shane dance around the lobby in the morning.
I don't know why. I just pictured him like that's how he walks around all day. He doesn't take normal steps. He does Shane steps.
Just does the Shane shot. Hey, babe, where's that toilet paper?
Well, so in the morning he moves a little. In the morning he moves a little slow. Same with Michael Hayes. You know, and Vince seems a little slow in the morning too, but he also is out late too.
So here's another question. So now that you've told us that you've been to so many different WrestleManias, like what's you know, what's your thoughts on the way that WrestleMania has evolved from like a one day thing to like a week they like take over? Cause like when they were here in Detroit, it wasn't really like that. Like you could see them around places here, but they weren't like that. And then when I went to Orlando, like as soon as we got there, all you saw was WrestleMania everywhere. From the second you step in the fucking airport, like there's WrestleMania shit everywhere. It was the same in New Orleans. Like literally they have the banners everywhere on all the poles of the airports, on all that shit.
Wow. And the stripper poles.
I didn't see those, but.
But yeah, talk about the evolution from when you started going to WrestleMania up until now, man.
What was the first one?
I mean, isn't. Oh, my first one was Mania 17.
Okay. X7, but I'm not
one of the greatest. One of the greatest fucking WrestleManias of all time.
That's a hell of a start.
That was a hell of a start. It's just definitely, it's amazing how it's grown. You know, not only the number of days, but also the price. But back then, like I said, we drove down Saturday, went to Access that night, and then went to Access Friday too. I can't remember. Or I just can't remember if it was Saturday or Friday. Then, you know, you had Mania Sunday, and then we all left Monday and went to Raw in Fort Worth that night, and that was kind of it. And, you know, WrestleMania 18, you know, you had Access a couple of days, and then you had Mania, and then, you know, I think they stayed in Toronto that next night. Could have been Montreal, I can't remember. And so it's just now it's grown. It's like, holy crap. I was like, is this going to grow anymore?
Well, I got a question about NXT.
Damn
it. You took my question. Go ahead, Kyle. You ask it. Go ahead.
Have you been to any of the takeovers?
He was there when we were there.
Ask him a question. of the takeovers, which would be the best match you've seen at any of the takeovers you've actually been at?
Oh, that's tough. Of all the takeovers, outside of the ones of Full Sail or London, I've been to all the takeovers. Oh, that's a tough one. It's like the Bayley Sasha match in Brooklyn 3 years ago. I mean, that just tore the house down. I mean, that probably should have main evented that card.
I agree.
That match was insane. I thought Sasha was going to die.
Say that about a lot of her matches.
Other than that, oh my God, there's so many good matches. Like the one recently, Ricochet and Velveteen Dream, and then yes, New sir. Orleans, the ladder match for the North American title. I mean,
here's a good question that piggybacks off of that. So you said you've been to most all of the takeovers. I'll ring the bell before these fucks even started. At the last two, takeovers before WrestleMania, you know, those shows have been off the fucking chain. Like, in my opinion, it's getting borderline to the point where anytime there's a pay-per-view where a takeover is involved, 9 times out of 10, it almost ends up being better than the show, as long as it's not like a 7 or 8 hour show, because then I don't really...
I avoid the spoilers for the takeover more than I do the main show.
Wow.
So what are your thoughts on, like, do you enjoy the WrestleManias better or the takeovers?
I enjoy them for different reasons, because I know it's technically two different things. Yeah. I mean, with NXT, it's going to be a shorter show. It's also run by someone who's, I think, overall more in touch with what should be going on and how things should be run.
Best pointer in the business.
You know, I think also, you know, the guys in NXT, because they can do more, you know, but they're probably more well rested because they don't travel nearly as much as the main roster. So you can go out all out more than that. You can go more all out. And then because Mania, you have like a 7-8 hour show. And I mean, the matches are great, but after a while, it's like, okay, this is draining. I mean, you can just feel it. The energy is like, okay, I'm glad you want to get everybody on the card, everybody a good payday, but at some point, you know, enough is enough.
Right. Yeah. Well, kind of the question I had about the takeover versus the, you know, the regular pay-per-view crowd. This was my first time going to Chicago seeing the takeover. And perfect example. You were there. Did you see Did you see at the NXT show when some fan tried to get a beach ball going and another fan just got up and ripped it all up and the crowd started
chatting? That usually doesn't happen.
No beach balls here.
Yeah, that's the first time that's happened. And then also some dumbass during the Ciampa Gargano match started to do a CM Punk chant. They shut that down quickly. So that normally doesn't happen. I'm glad it does. I hope that trend continues.
Right, and then you go to the next night during the Roman Reigns Jinder Mahal match. That crowd literally just took over the whole show. There was beach balls and CM Punk chants, and crowd started doing. I gotta say, one of the most impressive waves I've ever been a part of. But you can see the difference in those crowds. Like that NXT crowd is almost self policing, while that WWE crowd, when they don't like something, they'll take over the show. Have you noticed?
Yeah, definitely a little different. Definitely a little difference in the crowd. Yeah, it's kind of like a large ECW crowd, you know, mostly males, you know, the adult males. It's kind of a shame they can't sell out those takeovers unless it's that Mania weekend. Because, I mean, the fans, like fans.
Shit, Mania weekend wasn't really sold out either, because there was seats open when I got there.
Jeez. Yeah, I'd say they normally, you know, like I said, outside of Mania weekend, like the one in Houston, I think, had 3,000 or 4,000 fans. All the upper deck was tarped off. A lot of good chunk of the lower deck was tarped off. Philly, I think, barely sold half the crowd. That's a shame.
Do you think that that one had more? Or no, that was Chicago, but it was War Games. Excuse me, I was thinking of War Games.
That was
Chicago.
Houston was War Games. Yeah,
yeah, that was Houston. Okay. Chicago was the Gargano Ciampa turn.
Yeah. Okay,
the street fight. Yeah.
I was going to say, if it was the War Games one, maybe part of that might have been because of the setup. But
well, I think also because Houston's not a strong market in NXT. I mean, they don't draw a lot on the road, even. That's why they go to smaller venues. When they do, a lot of times those don't even sell out. It's like the 1,000, 2,000 seat arenas. When they tour in Florida, most of those are, you know, capacity crowds, 100 to 400 fans. A lot of it's the same fans that follow them up and down the state. It's a shame, as I said. It's a great show.
I agree.
You know, why miss out? Yeah, I think that, you know, they couldn't sell out Toronto. They had trouble selling out Brooklyn last year. And so I was like, damn, y'all. Like, don't miss out. And a lot of the times the prices are cheaper than the main show.
So that brings two questions that I have. One, since you were there in New Orleans.
Don't hurt yourself.
Yeah, I might break my shoulder even worse. Anyways.
I'm about ready to confiscate the bells.
Okay, kids, no more.
Anyways,
bells.
So in New Orleans, you know, you were there as was I. You know, to me, it borderline pissed me off the way the crowd started acting during the main event. Because to me, it almost became like you couldn't even watch the fucking thing. And I don't remember.
Joe versus Roman?
No, when it was Roman versus Brock.
Roman Brock.
And then, to make matters worse, I don't know what side of the ring you were on, but the reason why everybody turned to look, you know, back at the crowd, I was sitting right in that section and watched the guy get thrown the fuck out in the middle of the match.
That's why I texted you and I'm like, what happened?
Like, it just, to me, like, don't get me wrong, I'm all for fans having their own, you know, input. I'm all for, you know, expressing yourself, but it got to be at a point at WrestleMania where you couldn't even enjoy the match anymore because you couldn't even really tell if it was a good match because the crowd was acting so stupid.
Well, exactly. It's like at some point, it's like, are you doing that because you want and need attention for yourself? You know, and my thing is, if you really were pissed about, you know, either guy or both being in that main event, you know, the key is, and people will tell you this, silence is death. Mm-hmm. Don't make any noise or get up and walk out and don't come back.
Because Vince, you know, Vince thinks any reaction is a good reaction.
Make that show. True. I mean, as long as Roman's getting that reaction, Vince loves it. He doesn't give a crap.
He thinks Roman's over because they boo him everywhere he goes. No, that's not a Cena sucks. That's not a Kurt Angle you sucks. That's a we don't like this guy. Not even the fact that you don't like him, just change him.
Because, like, I mean, just between the two at the Chicago and New Orleans, just to me, man, at a certain point, like, I'm all for the crowd being nuts, but at a certain point, man, like during the New Orleans one especially, like I saw guys in our section because, like I said, the one guy got thrown out. Like people were like just acting a fucking fool, like jumping up in front of the camera and all kinds of shit. Like it was just, to me, that was overboard.
Yeah, at some point it is a little too much. It's like, you know, if you're really not pissed, if you're really pissed about it, you know, you're making reactions. Vince doesn't care, you know, and apparently his merchandise sales are right in line with AJ, just, and they're both under Cena. It's like Vince, like, okay, whatever, I don't care, you know, because like most people tell you, silence is death. If you're silent, like with naked noise, and there's no crowd reaction, then that's when they get worried.
Hey Kerry, were you at Backlash this year?
Yeah, I was there. Yeah,
I didn't actually see the show because I had other stuff going on. But is it true that people
watch it?
Is it true that people start getting up and leaving during his match?
There were some, but not as many people made it out to be. Because first of all, I looked at some of those pictures and I thought, those seats, most of them were empty the whole night anyway, because it wasn't a complete sellout either. There were some people that got them left, and I'll admit, that was not the match to have going last. It should have been AJ Nakamura. Even with that finish, it still would have been better. You know, I'm happy Joe got the main event in the show, Samoa Joe did, but that wasn't the one to end the show with. And it was going kind of long. It's like, even I'm like, okay, I've got a flight in a few hours. I got little time to sleep in this, and it's time to go.
There's
you know?
A lot of rest holds.
But it wasn't, I would say maybe 15% or so of the people left during that match.
That's still a nice percentage.
Wow.
Yeah. Like I said, some of those pictures, like those are empty the whole night anyway. So.
Yeah. Wait, do you watch any other or go to any other shows besides WWE?
That was my next question.
Not really, just because it's just this is time consuming. And a lot of times, like, the shows that come here, it's bad timing. It's like, the shows I'd want to go to, it's like, well, I just got back from Mania, being gone for a week. That's not going to look good if I go, oh, by the way, I'm going to another one. You know, I just got back in town after being gone a week. Sorry. So I would like to. It's just time and bad timing a lot of times and money.
Wait, are you a fan of other promotions?
Yeah, I keep up with, like, Ring of Honor, and I'm happy with All In Success. I heard it's supposed to be streamed, so I'll definitely watch it. I can't keep up with Impact. I can't.
Yeah, I said the same thing to our other co-host, Kevin. He watches everything. I'm like, dude, I can't. Like, I can't. I don't have the energy to give to that anymore. So I'm like, I'm good.
I just don't. Yeah, I can't do it. You know, and I know New Japan's doing some great things. So
the matches are so
good. Yeah, it's just a lot of it's just time consuming. And a lot of times, even for Raw and SmackDown, it's just background noise while I'm getting work done to get stuff done around the house.
Right. How much wrestling do you watch in a week?
It varies. I mean, it varies because I try to catch up with, you know, I make sure I watch the Bruce Pritchard podcast show on the network.
Shout out to Bruce Pritchard.
If they have anything special, like that Hardy 24 special.
So did you go to the...
Technically, I was...
Did you go to...
6 hours, I'll watch at some point.
More than me.
Did you go to the Something to Wrestle show when they were in Chicago for Money in the Bank?
Nah, because I didn't think it'd be possible to go from Allstate all the way to downtown Chicago. Know how traffic is, just trying to get out of that arena. So I thought, you know, it's just, nah. I'll get to a show at some point.
Gotcha. Well, we're glad to have you on. If you get time, check it out, because we had him on our show as well.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah. I'd love to go. A lot of times it's just bad timing, because trying to get back from the arena and, you know, except hanging out with some of the fans that go, it's when we try to leave the arena, it can be a chore, because everyone wants pictures and, like, we're hungry. We're trying to go. And we're tired.
You know, let's talk about that for a second. Why is Chicago? Why is Chicago traffic so damn bad? Why? I don't get it. Why does it take 45
poorly
minutes?
Poorly built infrastructure.
Because, like, literally going from Allstate Arena, like, to, like, some place, we went to a restaurant in like downtown Chicago area. It took us 50 minutes to get there, and it was only like 16 miles, and it makes no sense to me.
Try doing that in downtown Detroit at 4 o'clock. It's basically the same thing. And
oh, it's
horrible.
It's not this bad, man. It's not Chicago bad. Like, what is it about Chicago that the traffic is so terrible?
Man, the roads are just—they weren't built to handle our volume, and there's no way they can expand those highways, especially with the blue line going down the middle. You know, they put it underground, that opened up at least one more lane on each side, if not more. But, you know, it's not going to happen.
They barely even fit the tumbler, you know. So they don't have a lot of space down there.
Yeah, I was just angry the whole weekend, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I could tell you were burnt out by the end of it.
Detroit road rage came.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass. I mean, you know, I ride with a friend to go out there, and he knows some back roads and stuff. Even then, it's still like, holy crap, you know, like, damn.
So, since we've covered the wrestling end of it, do you watch MMA at all?
Not really. I've watched a little bit. I just never really got into it. You know, just... Definitely a wrestling guy, and haven't really been much into MMA. I'll read about it once in a while, you know, after some of the bigger shows, but...
That's fair.
That's about it.
Back to the wrestling, though, real quick. I have a question. Of all the events you've been at, what is probably one of the best dark matches or dark segments that you've actually been able to see? Because that's one of the things I had to explain to a friend of mine, of the purpose of going to an actual live event, is you get to see great stuff you're not going to see on camera. All the, like, the WrestleManias, pay-per-views, takeovers, in your houses, what will be one of your favorite dark matches that, you know, only you were privy to see because you were there at the actual arena?
Matches or segments or both?
Yeah,
both.
Okay. First one comes to mind would be a trip the night in Phoenix after Michaels retired at the end of Raw, Triple H. Trying to do a super kick in tight jeans with Chris Jericho.
Why does
that would be one.
I can't imagine him looking like that.
Oh, God, there's been so many. Oh, shit.
Have you been there for any of the Stone Cold Rock
singles? Seeing a prototype in a dark match about 3 weeks before he made his debut as John Cena.
Oh, wow. Would have been great to see.
Have you seen any of the Rock and Stone Cold sing-alongs?
What?
No, but I was there February 7, 2000 Raw in Dallas when Kane came out with Paul Bearer. As this is the night the Radicals turned on Mick Foley.
Oh.
Afterwards, they did. They were like all drinking beer and celebrating and just acting stupid in the ring. All you know, The Rock and Foley and Kane, and you know that was fun. Seeing a JBL Undertaker skit after in a June 2004 SmackDown.
So the final two questions I got for you are, one, out of obviously you've been watching wrestling your whole life. What's your favorite era of wrestling to either watch or have gone to?
Tough. If it was early 90s, I thought WCW was better than WWF with Sting and Flair and Vader.
Amen.
Overall, I thought they had better quality overall, even late 80s.
Stunning Steve Austin out there.
Yeah, the Dangerous Alliance and Paul Heyman and Misty Hyatt.
Ooh, Dangerous Alliance.
Wow, I heard that one in a while.
Yeah. For WWF, it's hard to beat the, granted, it for me was boring, but the Attitude Era was still good, but some of it was predictable for me, honestly. I loved how they had more character development back then, and they need that now. It doesn't have to be all about blood and sweat, blood and cursing and ultra over-the-top violence. But you definitely need more character development. Everyone should have a purpose on that card.
Right.
I don't think the ruthless aggression ever gets enough talk. I mean, I didn't mind it.
I love the ruthless
aggression. No, they have some good stuff. I mean, Survivor Series 2002, and it was Edge and Rey Mysterio against, mm-hmm. Benoit and Guerrero, and I think who else, Kurt Angle and who else, and it was Benoit and Angle. I forget who else, but man, what a great show. Or what a great match that was. Or watching the TLC matches, or watching Edge defend the world title against Flair in a TLC match live in person.
Oh. Kyle, you got the last question?
Okay.
Yeah, last question.
So you've been watching this probably pretty much your whole life, like a lot of us. Who's in your top five? Who was in your Mount Rushmore?
How did I know he was going there?
Your quintessential top five.
Shut up, Ralphie.
I'm always fucking original. The Undertaker.
Okay. Really? He's a Texas guy. Of course he's going to say Undertaker.
Yeah, I guess. Shout out to Texas.
Well, not even that. He was just my favorite even before I knew he was from Texas. He was just my favorite when he debuted. And that's a tough call. Oh, geez. I was lucky enough to see Andre the Giant wrestle and Savage a few times. And
wow, that's dope.
I'm trying to think. You got to put someone like, Austin and Rock definitely belong in there. It's hard to, you can't argue how popular those guys were and how much money they drew. That's just, you can't argue that.
Right.
Hard to beat Michaels, put on some amazing matches. Flair. Vader was a great one too, way back in the day when he was WCW champion for almost a year.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. It's kind of weird how they did it too.
Such a young age.
I heard a rumor that the Vince instructed the announcers really not to even acknowledge any of the signs or say his name during the actual broadcast, as actually after it happened, like on SmackDown.
I don't know though, man, because they came out with the whole collection about it on WWE and shit.
Yeah, but then still talking about, because I heard they confiscated somebody's sign at SmackDown that had Vader on it.
Get the fuck out of here.
So it's kind of weird how that happened, because I guess maybe because he's not a Vince creation. When he came in, he
but somebody dying is somebody dying though, dog.
This is Vince.
Yeah. There's definitely Vince. I mean, knowing some people there, he definitely has his weird tendencies. I was lucky enough when I did a performance tour a couple of years ago. Triple H actually surprised us and we were having lunch with him, and he just talking about how the things he would do differently and how I can only imagine the arguments he gets into the Vince back at the house or backstage. And, he's definitely not thrilled with some of Vince's decisions.
Yeah, because you got to realize, man, Bruno Sammartino probably wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame if it wasn't for Triple H, man. Yeah. Bruno basically was
the or even Warrior for reaching out to him.
Right.
So with that being said, I guess the last thing I have to ask, because you kind of alluded to it, who would be your favorite person that you've met or how has it been for you now that you've gotten more integrated there, like, you know, getting to know some of those guys?
I would say meeting Undertaker, always cool. I would say one thing that surprised me, John Cena, super nice, very cool. A friend and I, we got to AT&T Stadium a couple years ago. We were walking to the back, so I was trying to find the bathroom. And we're going back there, we sign it says, you know, gorilla position this way, W personnel this way. Oh, and I asked the attendant, is this the right way for us? She said, yeah, go ahead. I said, are you sure? Because I'm seeing all the signs that says W personnel, gorilla position, this and that. So yeah, just keep going further down and, you know, make it right. And as I'm walking down there, John Cena walks by, and I was like, hey, how's it going? He's like, no, how are you doing? And wants to shake my hand. I said, hey, you want to get a picture? Let's get a picture. How are you doing? What do you do? What brought you here?
Like, I kind of figured that couldn't be an act, but geez, that guy, man, that's a genuine article right there.
And I didn't even dawn on it. It didn't even dawn on me. It's like, he's injured. Oh, I guess he'll be appearing on the card tonight somewhere.
Well, and then the other thing that goes with that, like, you've been doing this for so long now. Like, what was the first show you ever got to sit front row at?
The first one, December 1st, 1991, house show, WWF house show. It was main event, Ric Flair against Roddy Piper.
Wow.
Damn.
Got to see the Road Warriors and the Natural Disasters.
Where was that at?
Tatanka. Oh, it was the Fort Worth Convention Center.
Jeez, man.
And have you been front row ever since, or?
Oh, to that arena?
No, I mean in general. Like, are you always front row every time you go to a show, or has it had been?
Hit or miss. I mean, when I was in, you know, undergrad and grad school, you know, front row was not affordable. Nowadays, it is. It's much easier. I know for my second show, you know, we had a show in December, my first show, and they announced they're coming back in 6 weeks. And it was going to feature Hulk Hogan and Mr. Perfect. And my dad walked to the box office, and he could have had front row. He decided, no, let's not do that, because you might have to look up and your necks might get stiff. I said, oh, you don't know what you're doing, old man.
Should I wish I had that problem?
Here's one thing that I will tell people, and I've told people, my friends get tired of me saying this, but Mania 17, the general sale happened. Because back in the day, they mailed your brochure with the pre-sale code. And of course, my mail is delivered, you know, 3 days, 4 days later. But I get online. It's dial-up. It's an old Macintosh.
Oh, man.
Get on Ticketmaster. I pull TV side, front row. It was section 3, row 1, seat 3. You know, it's $500 back then. They changed the format. I clicked the wrong button and lost it.
Oh shit. Man.
And I still kick myself to this day about it.
Man. Well, I take no responsibility because I work for them bastards at the post office. So,
damn it, bitch, you're your fault.
Well, we gotta go ahead and wrap this show up. Carrie, you got any last words you want to get to the people out there? Anything you want to say? Anything you need to promote?
I say just go to ColinElbowBrand.com and use my promo code Carrie to save 10% on any and all purchases. That includes when they have other specials that, you know, that discount's thrown in on top of that. They just brought out their great summer 2018 lineup. So go check them out. I say Al's a great guy. So is his wife. And I like the stuff they have. It's actually more comfortable than a lot of the stuff WWE produces.
Well, shit. If you ever talk to him, tell him we'd be more than happy to come have him come on the show with us, man.
And ask him, what does everybody still want?
I'll shoot him a message.
Ask him, what does everybody still want? What does everybody still need?
And
yes.
And one more question, man. I have like this
oh geez,
this list of people that I want to interview, and you were on that list, but now there's one person that I know that you know that we got to talk to.
I already asked him about it.
And it's Green Shirt Guy. I got to talk to Green Shirt Guy.
Yeah. he won't do them. No, he won't do them.
Wow.
Simon won't do it. The long haired guy. Actually, it was at Fastlane in Columbus this year.
Uh-huh.
Someone would be sort of, hey, would you mind coming back, coming to the back? We want to interview for our website. He said, no, I don't want any attention. I don't want to be bothered. No, thank you, but no. They're going to bring him backstage.
Wow.
He said, damn. No.
Well, I guess knockouts and three counts will respect his wishes.
That being said, man, we want to thank you so much for coming on the show with us too, man. I wish I'd have recognized it earlier, because when you were in the merch line, you were right behind me, which is what gave me the idea in the first place.
Was that Money in the Bank?
Yep.
Was that Money in the Bank or NXT?
It was one or the other.
It was NXT. I was the tall black.
It was it was NXT.
That nails
yep, it
down.
Was NXT. Because we were right in front of you and you were behind us, and I thought about it afterwards. I was like, I think that was him. And I shot you the message from our seats.
Yeah. I was the really, really tall black guy in front of you. So, yeah, if you remember, really, really tall black guy wearing a Kango, that was me.
Okay, that narrows it down.
Okay, yeah.
So you or Samuel.
Yeah, I remember because I was trying to find out about the signed posters, and then Simon was trying to find out about one of the event shirts they stopped selling because they actually labeled it as United Center. And like, oops, nope, they can't sell those now.
Man, but
we had to get you a Knockouts and Three Counts something to be next time you're at one of these shows.
That sounds good. All
right. Hell yeah, man. Well, but, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Yeah,
thanks a lot.
Thanks for inviting me on. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll run into you again in another show, man.
I'm going to get in touch with you once we get off the air. So thanks again for coming on, man.
All right, no problem. Yeah, you gonna text me or call me from the other number?
Yeah, from my regular number, yeah.
Which is 24.
All right, cool.
Which is fuck your couch. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah.
All right, take it easy, Kerry. Appreciate it again, man.
All right, have a good night. Thanks.
All right, you too. Randy, how much time we got? Or we got to wrap up?
We're going to wrap up.
All right, once again, hey, anniversary show. Thank you guys for
Yeah, Kyle actually showed that he loves us today, so...
Thank you, Kyle, for showing up, man.
Yeah, it's not a party unless I walk in, so, you know.
And a party. Wait, what was that song? Dang, I forgot.
That was
a party and a party unless I ran off. Never mind. So, Kyle.
Are we going to be seeing more of you and shoot out your fucking social media?
We'll talk about that off air. Mr. Kyle, yeah. What do you do on social media?
Kyle J. Campbell on Facebook, Team Chaos on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. And that's about it. I don't have Snapchat. I don't do any of the stuff the young kids do or what.
You act like you're Periscope, fucking old.
Is Periscope still a thing?
You
is
act like you're so old.
I'm about to say, let's tout.
Tout me. Yeah, tout me.
Patreon still go.
Tout is so old.
It was so bad.
WWE gave that the only prominence that shit ever had.
For 4 months. After the Charlie Sheen episode, we guest hosted, this shit went down.
Mr. Collison, would you go ahead and throw your social media out there and anything we got coming up?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit Knockout on Twitter and Instagram. Find me at Kyle Collison on Facebook. Follow the Knockouts and Three Counts podcast page. Give it a like. Share it to your friends. Pay attention for our episodes. We'll give you entertainment, if nothing else. And be sure, if you're looking for something to do in the Michigan area this weekend, we will be at BCWA at the Yak Arena July 7th. One of our co-hosts, Tony Thunder, will be on the card.
Yes, sir.
Be there. We're going to go watch the fights after. We'll put up where we're at. Check it out.
And before I give my social media information, I just want to apologize to Amanda Bobby Cooper. We ran out of time to have her on the show. But... you can hit me up on Twitter at Devin63. That's D-E-V-I-N.
That's starting to become this show's Matt Damon.
It is.
Apologies to Matt Damon.
She probably hates us by now, but.
Apologies to Matt Damon. Sorry we couldn't have you on tonight, but thank you to Bradley Cooper.
But hit me up on Twitter at Devin63. That's D-E-V-I-N-T-H-E-6-3. You can hit me up on Instagram at All Steak No Sizzle. Speaking of All Steak No Sizzle, since I got some more free time, guess what's coming back? All Steak No Sizzle. Pay attention. I'll put the information out there.
Did you ever do that? Did you ever like mass release the Super Bowl one we did?
Yeah.
I never got the link to that.
Oh, I'll send it to you.
Want to hear my voice?
I bet you do.
You whack ass.
Hey, if you need a car, make sure you check out SouthfieldQualityCars.com. Once you find the car that you would like to purchase and go in, use the reference code 19309. That's 19309, and you will receive $500 off on your purchase. That's $500, people. Get that money off of there. All right. All that being said,
fuck your couch.
This is episode 40.
Did you ever watch Chappelle's Show?
Yes, very much so. Yes.
And we out this piece.